says. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your mother and father, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, Truly, I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter said in reply, See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Jesus said to them, Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers or sisters, or father or mother, or children or lands, for my name's sake, will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. Well, Pastor's going to dive into this and unpack it a little bit more. And so he titled it with another question, Now or Later, the Reward That Will Last. Pastor.
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's.
It is indeed a good morning and a happy Mother's Day because there are riches that will last forever and they can be ours. The rich young man, the rich young hypocrite, was willing to do anything for God, or so he thought. But his heart was proud as he approached Jesus. He was a self-righteous man. And suddenly, Jesus asked him to do something that he would not do, and he was sorrowful at what Jesus asked, because what Jesus asked him to do was too difficult, he thought. It was too hard for anyone, or so he thought. In his mind, what Jesus was asking was unreasonable. How could he be expected to sell everything he had and give it all away? And all this at the promise of treasure that he could not see. And clearly he did not believe in this treasure. Following Jesus might seem possible for him, but giving up all his earthly treasure was too much to ask him. So he walked away from Jesus. He did not think what Jesus was asking was realistic. And Jesus' disciples were astonished at what Jesus had asked this man to do as well. The idea that rich people might not be able to enter heaven at all seemed nonsensical to them. Would everyone who had any worldly possessions end up in hell? Who could be a follower of Christ if it required giving up everything you had to follow him? But Jesus responded that even though it seemed impossible, God could save people despite their sin. But when Jesus said that, was he saying in actuality that what he had asked of the man, as they thought, unreasonable and unfair? The Apostle Peter was a wise man, however. He had paid attention to his Lord's teaching, and he had responded to that teaching in faith. So he stated the facts humbly to Jesus. Peter had been willing to give up everything for Jesus. The evidence of his faith was clear. So which type of person are you? Which type of Christian, if we will say, are you? Are you more like Peter, the Apostle Peter? Or are you more like this rich young hypocrite? A hypocrite is someone who says they wholeheartedly believe in something, but when their convictions are put to the test, they do not follow through. The word hypocrite means actor or pretender. The hypocrite is not authentic as a person. They will not live out what they claim to believe when it becomes difficult to do so. Those who will not obey all the commands of Jesus because some of them are too hard will not inherit eternal life. When Jesus asks us to sacrifice something temporary for the sake of his name here, with the promise of something eternal in the life to come, the person who will not take that offer is not only a fool, but a hypocrite. They do not really believe the promise that Jesus makes. Jesus always keeps his word, always keeps his promises, but they do not really believe what Jesus says. We conclude our three sermon series titled Making the Right Choices, Guarding Against Hypocrisy with the question, will you make the right choices when you can either have rewards now that will not last, or rewards later that will last forever? A difficult obedience to Jesus now brings incredible blessing later. Is your faith authentic and real, or are you a pretender, a hypocrite? So let us pray and get into our text today. Father, we've been examining our hearts the past 3 weeks, we've been thinking about what's going on in our hearts. When we say we believe in you, Father, in our hearts, when we say we're followers of Jesus, the question comes up, when we have opportunities to give up everything we have for Jesus, to receive blessings in the next life that he promises us, do we really believe what he says? And if so, if we really believe what Jesus teaches us and tells us in his word, then are we willing to do what he says, take his offers? When he asks something of us, are we immediately willing to do it, even when it's difficult? Because we believe that he can provide the reward and the satisfaction that he promises to those who will obey him in very hard things. Do we trust him to keep his word, Father? This rich young man did not. Because what Jesus asked of him, he thought it was too hard, and he did not really believe that the reward would be what Jesus promised. Move our hearts, Jesus, when the suffering is deep and things are very difficult, to continue, when you're asking us to have faith even in the darkest hours of our life, when we're struggling to obey you, when our pride or our logic or our reasoning tells us not to obey you, Father, help us not only repent, but to turn and obey you with the belief, the faith, the trust that you are who you say you are, and that you will keep your promise, because nothing is impossible for you. You can keep your promise, and you're never a liar. You will keep your promise if we obey. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We start our passage in Matthew 19, verses 16 and 17. It starts with, "And behold." Behold meaning, look at this, see this, examine this, what is about to happen. "And behold, a man came up to Jesus saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good?'" Essentially, why are you coming to me? "There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." This rich young man says he wants eternal life. He's coming to the right place, Jesus. And Jesus tells the man how to have eternal life. Obey God's word. Very simple. Jesus asked, "Why are you coming to me?" He should have known why he was coming to him, because Jesus is the one who can offer him eternal life. When Jesus tells him what to do, if he does it, Jesus can keep his promise because he is God. There is only one who is good, and that's Jesus. He should know it at this point. He's seen the miracles. He's seen the truth that Jesus speaks. So come to me, Jesus says. I'll tell you how. I'm going to make you an offer. You come to the right place. Matthew 19, 18 through 20. The man said to him, "Which commandments? Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus is the one that said these in the Old Testament. He's just repeating what he himself said. The young man said to him, "All of these I have kept. What do I still lack? What more can I do? I've done all of these." The rich young man wants to know what parts of God's word he needs to obey in order to have the eternal life he says that he wants. Notice that he is interested in which commandments to obey, but does not simply accept that he needs to obey all of them, the entire Old Testament scripture he needs to obey. So Jesus gives him a list of the commandments from the Ten Commandments that demonstrate love for your neighbor. He even summarizes in verse 19 by saying, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," also in the Old Testament scriptures. The man says that he has kept all these commands. It is even possible that externally, on the outside, the man truly has kept these commands. He might be a truly kind person towards others. We should know that truly loving your neighbor is to point them to Jesus and tell them to love God, which you cannot do authentically yourself if you do not love God. But this man, as much as he could, might really have been caring for other people. So it is possible that the man was speaking honestly when he said he thought that he had obeyed. But calling yourself a follower of Jesus while you reject his commands, if they are too hard for you, is not a loving thing to do for your neighbor, as it ultimately will drive them away from him because of your testimony of hypocrisy. Everything we choose to do, especially publicly, affects not just how others see us, but as Christians, it affects how they see him. But as an aside, I'll take an aside for a moment because it's Mother's Day, and it mentions honoring your mother here. We have many mothers here in our church, and every single one of us has a mother. Some of us even have women who are not technically our mother, like my stepmother for me, that are very special to us and have loved us like they are our mother. The women who have nurtured us and taken care of us as their own children need to be honored, appreciated, and loved. That is why we have mothers. And the rich young man here in the passage told Jesus he had honored his parents, specifically he had honored his mother. So what is being said about this man's relationship to his mother in the context of this passage? While he told Jesus that he had loved his mother, as he chose to walk away from Jesus and his offer of eternal life, what does that say about his love for his mother? The answer is that as a hypocrite, he was not truly loving or honoring his mom. A truly loving son or daughter honors their mother by choosing Jesus over everything else, even being willing to leave his mother if anything about his relationship with her gets in the way of following Jesus or her following Jesus. Jesus says that this very thing clearly later in this passage when he says that all those who have left mothers for his sake will be rewarded in heaven. In fact, by obeying Jesus in the hard things, we point our mothers to him and show true honor to them. And a faithful mother will support her children in following Jesus, even if she does not herself know Jesus, because she can see the love that her son or daughter has for him and how much that matters to them. I've experienced that. And the greatest honor a mother can ever receive is when she sees her children cherish Jesus and obey him because of the faith that she instills in them through her teaching and testimony of faith to them. So the rich young man told Jesus he had obeyed all of these commands, but in his hypocrisy, he failed to love others, including his mother, even though he had all the riches and earthly care for her that he thought was more than enough to satisfy God's commands to love her. In the Jewish context here in the first century, honoring his mother would have been about taking care of her physical needs, which clearly he had done. But when Jesus asked him to give up everything and follow him, it seems that he believed he could love all his neighbors and his mother more with worldly resources than by giving up those treasures and following Jesus. Man could not conceive ultimately that there were things more important than money and physical provision. Even his testimony of love for his mother was pure hypocrisy. So, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. God has given us so many women who desire to point their children to Christ here at this church, and I pray that today you will examine your heart during this sermon for hypocrisy, so that you can be even more faithful to your children. And the children who want to honor their mother by pointing them to Christ, I pray that you would do the same. That aside finished, we're going to return to the main point of this text. So what does Jesus have to say next to all of us who would follow him? Matthew 19, 21 and 22. Jesus said to the rich young man, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Follow Jesus is what he's inviting him to do. When the young man heard this, he went away. He walked away, sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus offers the man treasure in heaven if he will simply give up his treasure here. Jesus gives him a choice between the two. My treasure, Jesus says, or your treasure? You have to choose. The man declines the offer that Jesus makes because he wants his treasure here more than he wants treasure in heaven. While the man might have passed the test of loving his neighbor, he would not pass the test of loving Jesus. Jesus demanded from the man that if he would have the eternal life that Jesus offered and could give him, he must be willing to give up everything for Jesus' sake. Not only must a person be loving of people around them, they must love God more than anything or anyone else in order to enter his kingdom. The rich young man claimed to want eternity in heaven, but he was not willing to sacrifice everything for it. His love for Jesus was seriously lacking. He did not want what Jesus was offering enough. In reality, the man did not fully believe that what Jesus was offering was real. Because if he did know that, then he would know that the offer Jesus was making was worth it. Would not all the riches of heaven be worth sacrificing all the riches of earth? On earth, nothing lasts. We will all soon die. Everything we have will soon decay. Jesus had been preaching this message for quite some time, and the rich young man must have heard it at this point. But when he came to Jesus, and Jesus offered him everything that he promised, the truth was that the rich young man did not really believe what Jesus was promising. His profession of his desire to be with Jesus in heaven was fake. He was a hypocrite. Matthew 19, 23 through 25. And then Jesus turns and says to his disciples, "Truly, I say to you, only with a lot of difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a giant camel to go through a tiny eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Jesus, who then can be saved?" Jesus teaches his disciples that it is extremely difficult for those who have treasure here to give it up for treasure in heaven. What Jesus asked the rich young man to do was very hard to do because of how much people love their riches on earth, their treasure on earth. It seems almost completely impossible for someone to give up their treasures here for something that they cannot see. The natural person, without the work of God in their heart, would say it is foolish to use what we have here, giving it up for some promise of something after we die. The disciples ask a valid question. Who could be saved if the requirement is to act in a way that everyone would think is foolish and unwise? What they're thinking is that the rich young man was asked to do something that is unrealistic. How could Jesus expect rich people to sacrifice their riches now for something promised later that seems intangible? They were absolutely astonished at what had just happened. Was Jesus teaching salvation by works? And were the works that were being required impossible? Matthew 19, 26 through 27, when they were astonished, what does Jesus do? He looks at them. Just imagine Jesus looking at you when you've reacted with this astonishment. He looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. He knew what they were thinking. But with God, all things are possible. Then Peter, he responds, see, look, Jesus, see, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Jesus does not mean to say that salvation is absolutely impossible for man, but that salvation is impossible for man without God. God makes possible for us what is impossible for us alone without Him. Everything is possible with God because God has the power to do anything that He pleases. When God sets out to do something, He is always successful because nothing can stop Him. Thus, ultimately, what is being said here is that when we trust God to do what He promises, He will not fail us. The rich young man would not trust Jesus to fulfill his promise. He would not give up everything he had to follow Jesus, even though Jesus promised him that he would receive the eternal life that he wanted. He did not really believe that Jesus could do what he said because he did not believe that all things were possible for Jesus. His lack of faith was hypocritical. Peter says to Jesus that by the grace of God, the impossible had happened in his life. He had left behind everything he had and followed Jesus. He had taken the offer that Jesus made, the offer that the rich young man would not take. Peter is not a hypocrite. When Jesus offered him eternal life in exchange for everything he had, he believed Jesus. He had faith that Jesus would fulfill his promise, and he left everything. Now Peter, hearing another promise in the words of his Lord Jesus, asks him another question. Essentially, Peter is asking that if all things are possible for Jesus, will there not be a reward for this obedience? What will it be? Now, did Peter earn his salvation by works, and the rich young man lose it because he would not obey? No. You might remember the biblical term we used in Romans, megenaton, impossible. It could never be. There's no salvation that you earn by works. Trying to earn your salvation by works is the road to destruction. But that is not what is being taught here. Peter, when he left everything by faith in God. Jesus says that a man cannot attain salvation by himself. But with God, salvation is made possible for man. God is the one who gave Peter the faith to obey Jesus. Without God, Peter could not and would not leave everything behind. And the rich young man clearly did not have the power of God to obey. But the reality is nonetheless that the evidence of Peter's faith was obedience. Peter did what the rich young man did not do, and thus demonstrated that God was working in his heart. The rich young man's refusal to follow Jesus showed his lack of faith in God. It showed that God had not given him the faith that he needed to obey him. And thus he demonstrated that he was a hypocrite, because he said he wanted eternal life, but did not want it enough. God had not changed his heart and desire. But Peter's heart had been moved by God to desire Jesus more than everything else he had. That was the thing. It wasn't so much about the action of giving everything up, but more about his heart was set on Jesus more than everything else. When he was asked to do something extremely difficult for Jesus, Peter had done it because he loved him. The rich young man would not. That kind of love that Peter had for Jesus is supernatural. It is the work of God. Matthew 19, 28 through 29. Jesus says to all his disciples, truly, this is the truth. Believe this, Jesus said. I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man, that's Jesus, he is the Son of Man, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, all of you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother, happy Mother's Day again, or children or lands for my name's sake, they will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Jesus responds to Peter's question about what the reward will be. There will soon be a new world, which is not like the old world, the kingdom of heaven. This world will last forever. Those who enter it will never die. There will be no more sin or corruption. Nothing will decay. Nothing will be stolen. There will be no more pain or suffering. This new world will be perfect and everlasting. Jesus will be there on his throne. God the Father will be with him. Do you believe these things? Do you believe it's real? Do you believe this place that soon, if we follow Jesus, if we give up whatever he asks for him, that will be there just as real as if we're in this room? It's real. We'll be there physically with him. And in this world, there will be thrones for the 12 apostles who have sacrificed more than all of us as they rule over the people of Israel. And what Jesus is not telling them now at this point, because they are not ready for it, is that all the nations of the world will be there as well, the Gentiles. They'll learn that later. But everyone who will trust in the promises of Christ, trust in the gospel, and follow Jesus as Peter did, offering up everything they have to God at every opportunity that he gives them, they will be there with the Son of Man, with Jesus on his throne. All the believers in Christ who repent of their sin and have authentic, sincere faith in him will be in this new world. And it's not that far off for any of us. Jesus then offers an amazing promise in verse 29 to all those who would follow him. Everyone who has given up anything valuable for him in their service to him, offering it up for the sake of his name, Jesus Christ, will be rewarded for their sacrifice. The reward will be 100-fold, 100 times what they sacrificed in this world. These rewards are eternal and will never go away. In exchange for what ever they give up here, that will never last. And they will keep these rewards forever because they will live forever with eternal life. Anyone who truly believes this promise will be very wise and spend the rest of their life seeking to gain this eternal reward by giving up everything that they have an opportunity to for the sake of Jesus' name. Only a foolish person who does not really believe him, a hypocrite, would reject this offer. Do we believe Jesus? If we do not truly believe the promise of Jesus, do not truly love him more than temporary treasures here, then we have not experienced the power of God to change our hearts as Peter did. Are we more like Peter, the Apostle Peter, or are we more like the rich young man who will walk away if we're asked to do too much? We are faced every day with choices about what is really important to us. What do we choose? Are we a hypocrite? If we examine our hearts and we are a hypocrite, there is still hope. We're not at the judgment seat of God yet. We haven't died. There's still time today to repent. Jesus has done what we could not do, so that through his work, we could do what he asks us to do. He's done it already before us, so that we might follow him through his righteousness. We have sinned against God in many ways. Often we tell others in God that we have been very obedient to his commands. But when we hear a very difficult command from his word, we either ignore it or reject it as unreasonable. And then we pretend that we have obeyed it in some way so that others will think that we are righteous. But God knows our hearts. Jesus knows the hearts of man. The Bible says that. He knows when we are being hypocritical. It's not about what others think. It's not about what I say. If I think this about you, it doesn't matter. My opinion is not one way or the other. If I think you're great, it doesn't matter either. But God knows already what's going on in your heart. He knows what you're thinking as you look at these scriptures, as you hear as I try to explain these scriptures. It's about what he thinks. We have not obeyed him the way we should, all of us. And the penalty for that if we will not repent and believe in him, is eternal hell. That's reality. But we don't have to go there. I don't want any of you to go there. That's why I'm preaching this. I don't want to go there. That's why I'm listening to my own preaching myself as I preach it. Essentially, if we do not love Jesus in the way that we say we do, then we'll be judged for it in the end. But we're not there yet. We're here today. Today is the day of salvation for all of us. If we will not do the difficult things that Jesus asks, then we do not love him enough. And those difficult things are in his word. We'll find them there. He lived a righteous life perfectly so that we, because we cannot perfectly obey him, we need his righteous life. We need his perfection that he lived. But that does not mean that because he was perfect and we cannot be, that we should not strive for his perfection. And then he died on the cross because we cannot bear the punishment for our sin and how he took it for us on the cross if we'll believe in him. Then he was resurrected from the dead so that anyone like the Apostle Peter and like all of us who believe in him can obey through the power of his resurrection. So trust in his righteous life, his sin-bearing death, and obedience-causing resurrection, and we will have real repentance, real faith, real salvation, and real increasing obedience to Christ's commands. Time for the application. We have Matthew 19:16 through 22 up on the screen. I want to pull everything from the scripture, even the application. I'm trying to do that. That's a new thing I'm doing. I realized the truth was I was not doing a good enough job with the application. I wanted to obey Jesus, just as I'm saying. That was something I was sinning in. So I recommitted because someone brought it to my attention. That my application needed to be better. That was something that I was struggling with. So hopefully the application is more helpful to you. I've worked on it much harder. I want to be faithful. I'm not going to read the verses again because we've already read them. As with the past 2 weeks, we can see two characteristics of a hypocrite here in this passage. When we look at the rich young man, let us examine our hearts to see if we are like him in any way. We must guard against this type of hypocrisy by examining our hearts. For if we will not repent of our hypocrisy, there is great spiritual danger in our lives. Only the one whose faith is authentic and real, not lukewarm, will enter heaven. So examine your heart. The first characteristic of a hypocrite we see in this passage is an inconsistent obedience to God that refuses to obey him when it is most difficult to do so. The rich young man claimed to be obeying God in verses 18 through 20. But even if he really was obeying all these commandments, and maybe he was, when Jesus gave him a further commandment in verse 21 that he believed was too difficult for him to obey, he flat out refused in verse 22. He said that he would do anything that Jesus asked, but when he discovered there was something that Jesus was asking him to do that he felt was too much to ask, He quickly refused and walked away. Even if this man would do many different things in obedience to Jesus, there were certain things that he would not do. For us as Christians, we too could live out the Christian life extremely well, be obedient in many different ways. But when we come across something that God is asking us in his word to do that we feel we cannot or that we will not obey, we simply refuse to do it. We reject it. We ignore it. While we might struggle with something, there's many things we will struggle with. Over time, we're struggling as we strive to obey. If we simply will not do what God is asking, refuse to do it, this is a mark of hypocrisy and will eventually lead us away from God. Are there commands from God in his word that you know about but are refusing to obey? Or are you avoiding examining parts of his word because you know there is something there you will not do? Are there times when you often avoid the Bible entirely some days of your life because you do not want to be convicted of daily sin? Examine your heart for the hypocrisy of an inconsistent obedience to God. There's a second characteristic we have from the rich young man. The second characteristic of a hypocrite we see in this passage is a failure to trust the promises of God in his word. This failure to trust his promises leads to a foolish refusal to give up our lives, everything we have now, for rewards in heaven. When Jesus made the rich young man an amazing offer of treasure in heaven in verse 21, in verse 22, the rich young man would not take the offer that Jesus made. He came to Jesus wanting eternal life and blessing in verse 16, but he would not sacrifice what he had now to attain it. Essentially, he would not do everything he possibly could to have what he said he wanted. There were limits on what he would do to have all the blessings of heaven, to have eternity with Jesus. Someone who says they are a Christian professes that Jesus and his kingdom are everything to them. But when they fail to be willing to give up everything for him, when he offers them an opportunity to, commands them to, they demonstrate a hypocritical heart. When Jesus offers us an opportunity to leave something behind for the sake of his name, not giving it up for no reason, but giving it up for him, the hypocrite does not truly believe what they say they do, that Jesus will reward them in his kingdom. Their refusal to obey Jesus' command to use their resources to exalt him indicates that their profession of trust in the promises of Jesus is a lie. Jesus says that the one who gives up anything for him now will receive 100 times as much later and be able to keep those blessings forever. True saving faith is founded on trust in the promises of God, like Abraham, very related. And if we do not trust Jesus' promises here, then our faith is not real. The hypocrite is a foolish person who would try to keep something that they have now that they will definitely lose in the end. And in the process of trying to keep it, they will lose something much more valuable that in the end will last forever. If the Christian believes the word of God, the words of Jesus, then they will be wise and give up everything in this life, should Jesus give them the opportunity for the riches in heaven. So what is in your heart? What are you doing with your resources now when God presents you with opportunities to invest them in his kingdom? Have you chosen things that are ultimately worthless in the end instead of things that are eternally worthwhile? Do you really believe Jesus is able and willing to keep the promises that he makes? Examine your heart. Figure out, what do you believe? Examine it for hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of foolishly failing to trust Jesus' promises. It will be lived out in your life if you truly believe it. So there's two characteristics of hypocrisy that I mentioned here. I'll state them again. One, an inconsistent obedience to God that refuses to obey him when it is most difficult to do so. And two, a failure to trust the promises of God in his word that leads to a foolish refusal to give up our lives, everything we have now, for rewards in heaven. I'll go back and review the other four characteristics from the previous two sermons, then we'll have a summary for the series, and then we'll be done. We saw 2 weeks ago that hypocrites are those that practice, one, lies and deception, and two, self-righteous pride. We saw last week that the hypocrite does not prioritize at all times hearing and obeying the teachings of Jesus above any other choice they make in their life, and two, the hypocrite is anxious and worried about earthly things first, and then only afterwards, if there is time, spiritual things. So here's a summary definition from the three passages that we looked at from the application of the three passages. There's a slide for it. It's on your worksheet as well. I printed it out in big print for you. I'll read it. A hypocrite is someone that does not truly trust the promises of God in his word. They do not believe them, and because of their disbelief, they will not give up things in this life for them. But they want others to believe that they will. So they practice lies and deception to deceive God and others about their own holiness. They think they are more spiritually mature and righteous than others in their pride, especially those who point them to their own sinfulness and evil before God. The hypocrite does not truly prioritize hearing and obeying God's word over all things in their life. Thus, they are anxious and worried first about things of this world, and because of all this, their obedience to God is not consistent, and they will not do the most difficult things for God. Examine your hearts. Is any part of this you? Are you truly sold out for Jesus, his word, and his promises. Will you do anything